Good evening, folks. Ooh, got a ring in here. There we go. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind here in Pensacola, Florida with Jonathan Sampson. And we are having a busy day here. If you want to come on down, you can help us out. Bring a shovel or a hammer and we'll put you to work. We are the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of planet Earth. Anybody thinks they came from a rock needs serious help, and we are here to help. So we can do it. We can help set the record straight. If you want to call in, you can call in and be on the program live, 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or you can AOL instant messages by going to Dr. Dino Live, and we'll be glad to take any questions you have on the subject of creation, evolution, dinosaurs, and a whole variety of other subjects. We just like stirring up trouble and getting people's confidence built up that God's Word is right. And that's the very book that we're going to, God's Word is what we're going to have to answer to for how you behaved and lived your life according to His clear commandments. So don't miss out on that one when you get to stand before Him. Let's see. There we go. Okay, testimonies to read and announcements. If you want to keep up with the legal battles going on here, you can go to richardsays.com. Richard's keeping up with most of the stuff. I have to send him a few more things here when I can. But legal battles here with the IRS and with the county battle, kind of interesting. We just want to win souls and do right. And some people just don't see it that way. They think they ought to stick their nose in somebody else's business. So anyway, we're trying to keep going. And this weekend I'll be in Missouri, and next weekend I'll go back to Missouri. And then my next meeting after that is in Missouri again. Three different parts of Missouri. So anybody in Missouri, Iowa, I think the one this weekend is right near the Missouri-Iowa-Illinois border. Up there along north of Quincy, Illinois. If you know anybody up in that region, tell them, come on over to the seminar. And the next one's down in central Missouri. I think I fly to Springfield and drive northeast a couple of maybe 40 miles. And then the next one is down near Branson, Missouri. So anyway, take care of the Midwest this week. Try to get them all converted. Okay, once again, if you want to call in, 850-479-DINO or Dr. Dino Live. If you want to be on the air with us, we'd be glad to answer your questions. Let me read a few testimonies here. Also, oh, we forgot, Jonathan, the Southeast Creation Conference. People are signing up like crazy. If you want to come to that, we're going to have some great speakers. Dr. Carl Ball is going to be here, good longtime friend of mine, and Dr. Dennis Swift from Beaverton, Oregon, and Dr. Jack Cuazzo from New Jersey, who wrote the book Buried Alive, excellent book about the Neanderthals. They were just normal humans, folks, probably lived to be a couple hundred years old, maybe 200 or 300. Like the Bible says, happened to people after the flood. Neanderthals are not evidence of evolution. Okay, and you can get those books on the website, drdino.com. And if you get a chance to come visit our Dinosaur Adventure Land, you won't believe all the stuff going on here. We're having a blast. The Southeast Creation Conference is this September, 17, 18, 19, and they can click and do that right online. Right, Jonathan? Just join up and sign up right there. Okay. If you want to get your stuff in, to come join us. Here we go, testimonies. Eric, UTIC, last name, Utic. I really appreciate your ministry. It has a lot to do with getting me saved. I saw you at Anchorage Baptist Temple, it's in Alaska, in September 99. I used to go with my wife before I was saved because I enjoyed the conservative message, even though I didn't believe in all the Jesus stuff. I really like the common sense approach you take so the average Joe can understand you. I got a tape of your seminar after the service, which I really enjoyed, and a few weeks later I phoned in and bought your whole 27-tape package. I have watched most of them and now have started to invite others over to see them also. I wish you had another series on how to understand the Bible. As a new Christian reading the Bible for the first time, I'm finding it hard to understand Revelation, for example. It looks like you're plenty busy with what you're doing now, though. My wife and I really enjoy your work, and we hope and pray you keep it up. Enclosed is a small gift to help you have a great Christmas. This was sent to us just before Christmas. Excellent. Got a whole file of testimonies here. Let's see. Here's one. Deanna from Michigan writes in. Dear Brother Hovind, I truly want to thank God for putting you on this earth. I am a struggling Christian, as are many. Boy, was I shocked one night at a party at my mother's house when I heard my uncle telling someone how to get saved. I've been born again for 2 years and have never been pushy about it. I guess I was just unsure. I had no arguments for any of their questions. Well, like I said, I was knocked for a loop, and I asked him if I had heard him correctly, and he told me about how a man at work had given him your tapes. 15 hours. Well, 2 days later, he brought them to me, and wow, did they change my life. Your tapes have strengthened my faith and made me hungry for the Word. I just want to thank you and let you know that you're making a huge difference. By the way, I never would have expected my uncle to come to Christ. Right now I'm working on my brother. I loaned him the tapes, and he is still a skeptic. He told me that he wants concrete proof, not just possibilities, even though they are the most likely. Anyway, it goes on here, the letter talking about the brother. Well, thank you so much, Deanna. That's great. These videos they're talking about, folks, these award-winning videos, we've produced over 1 million of them here at our ministry. They deal with the subjects of creation, evolution, dinosaurs, the Garden of Eden, what was it like, why did Adam live to be 900 plus, what was the flood like, what did it do to the world, what caused the flood, where does the Ice Age fit in, what about carbon dating, how do we see light from the stars millions of light years away. 3 hours on videotape number 4 about lies in the textbooks. Your textbooks in school are just plain lying to your kids, telling them they have evidence for evolution. Just bold-faced lies. There's no stronger word to use, or I'd use it if I had one. Anyway, so, yeah, that's our video series, and you can get those right online, drdino.com. We redo the series every year and a half or so, and the ones up there now are from late 2003, so they are pretty fresh and lots of good stuff on there. Nearly 7,000 visuals we use in PowerPoint, lots of documented stuff. It's a full 10-course meal there for the person who wants to learn more. Here's one from David Shreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Dr. Oven, after watching your debate tapes, I realized how difficult your ministry is, and I wanted to send you a positive note. I received Jesus into my heart when I was 7 years old and was raised in church and Christian schools. I'm now 27, and as I look back, I have not done much for God. I first saw you on a TV program called Creation Network on Sky Angel. Then I logged onto your website and found out you would be in my area soon. My wife and I got excited and told everyone we knew. We got 4 people to come with us to see you in Diamond Bar, California. We saved up and bought your complete set of tapes, and they have changed our lives greatly. You made us very uncomfortable with how we live, and are very grateful because we are changing fast. I work for a unified school district as an auto mechanic. Both of my parents also work for the district. I've started making copies of the tapes and giving them out. My dad works at the high school, and he found a Christian teacher who has a year-long teaching class teaching the Bible as a historical document. I made some copies and gave them to him. The teacher edited them to use in his class and started showing them to students 2 weeks ago. I just found out that 3 students have accepted Jesus so far after watching your seminars. Can you believe that? Showing them in a public school. The Bible as a historical document. That's great. I love it. Let's see. We believe that your ministry is one of the most effective ways to win people to Christ that we have seen. Thanks. Keep up the good work. David Shreve. Well, amen. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Those videos stir up trouble or get people saved. And that's the goal. That's the whole purpose behind everything we do here, is to glorify God and get people converted. Okay, AOL instant messages are coming in here. If you want to get online with us, you can go to Dr. Dino Live, or you can call us, 850-479-DINO. Okay, here's one from, I guess I missed part of the message. Here we go. It says, the claims for B-17 are unfounded and flawed.
Wait. You got to start up a little bit higher than that one.
I thought that was it.
There should be some more.
Okay. Here we go. In your seminars, you said that you talked to Bill Sardi about all your health questions, and you highly recommend him for any health-related information in your seminars. So you say that vitamin B17 is the cure for cancer. I personally am reading the book World Without Cancer, and I'm very interested about the subject. Anyway, I emailed Bill Sardi asking what he thought about B-17 being used for cancer prevention, and this was his reply. The claims for B-17 are unfounded and flawed. Unfortunately, there is a mild anti-cancer effect by production of cyanide with Laetril. But cyanide is also toxic to healthy cells. There are far better anti-cancer models, Bill Sardi. Then I emailed him back asking, I'm curious, have you personally read the book World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin? I read that aspirin is 27 times more poisonous than B-17, and that other cancer treatments, such as chemotherapy, are way more toxic than B-17. And he replied by saying, B-17 is not a vitamin, it is cyanide. Your choice to use it but I would hesitate about recommending it to others. The Hunzas, Griffin, talk about do get cancer, and they don't live exceptionally long. No birth certificates prove their age. What do you think about this, Kent? Thanks, Adam. Well, Adam, Bill Sardi's a good friend of mine. I've talked to him many times about a variety of topics, including this one. He and I differ just a little bit on the, you know, what is the cure for cancer. I do sell G. Edward Griffin's book, and I sell Bill Sardi's book, both. I think health is an extremely complex subject, and I'm sure not the expert on it. I send hundreds, if not thousands, of people to Bill for advice. I don't know that he has read the book. He did not answer your question, by the way, when you asked him if he read the book. I should ask him that myself. But I would still recommend Bill, and I recommend the book by G. Edward Griffin, World Without Cancer. If you go to our website, there's a bunch of links about cancer, what to do. Study the subject. It is complex. I think that especially if you read the book World Without Cancer, the first half of it explains the biology of cancer. The second half explains the politics behind it. So there's a real political reason why the cure has been suppressed for so long. So I guess I'll say I have to differ with Bill on that one. Okay. Here we go. Jeremy says, what are the latimeres, and are they like coelacanths, living fossils? Jonathan, where did we read an article about that? Latimer, Latimeras, it's a often used as a missing link. The evolutionists use it as a missing link, along with coelacanth. Of course, the coelacanth is still alive, swimming around in the ocean. It's just a fish that has little short limbs before the fin grows. I've seen evolutionists use this latimeres before, and I don't recall what the creature is now. So sorry, Jeremy, I can't answer that. We'll have Jonathan work on that one and try to get a response by the end of the program. Anthony Comeau writes in, C-O-M-E-A-U, Comeau. I've been reading Genesis, he says. Now, Anthony, right there is a start. That's awesome. I recommend everybody do that. And Exodus when you're done, and then Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, read the whole thing. I've been reading Genesis. In Genesis, after Cain kills Abel, it says that God cursed Cain all the days of his life to walk the earth. Now, from what I can understand, someone who walks around all his life would get very hairy. I believe it is possible that the Bigfoot legends describe Cain and his descendants. What do you think? No, I disagree, Anthony. Walking around doesn't make you any hairier. I think that's, you know, genetic hairiness is. Some people are real hairy. I got two sons. One is real hairy all over his back and everything, and the other one pretty hairy, and me, not as hairy. It varies greatly, you know.
I read a pretty interesting fact the other day. Babies in a mother's womb have the same amount of hair follicles as they do whenever they're, you know, 95 years old or whatever. The number of hair follicles on your body never changes. And you're actually never even bald. Just the hair type changes. I guess there's visceral hairs, terminal hairs, and some other kind of hair. Hmm. But terminal hairs are the ones that are on your head and your armpits and stuff like that. And there's the fine visceral hairs, which are colorless and tasteless and odorless. And they actually replace the terminal ones later on in your life. So it's pretty interesting.
Does terminal hair grow a certain distance and then stops? Because like your eyebrows, you know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And arm hair, they don't keep growing like your head hair does. And who cares? We'll come back after the break so we can find an answer on that one, folks. Anthony, hang in there. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind, H-O-V-I-N-D. You get it pronounced all kinds of ways. But that's the way it is. Grandpa came up from Norway, and that's the pronunciation they used over there, Hovind. Like the wind is blowing. And so we're stuck with it. And it's not bad. And Kent, by the way, means bright, shining, pure one. So, what's his name?
Michael Shermer.
Michael Shermer wants to call the skeptics, the atheists, the brights.
The crusader for the brights.
The brights. Okay, Michael. I will be the people who believe in creation. We're the brights.
Yeah, I think we're the brightest, you know, of the people running around trying to theorize. You got other people who believe they came from a rock. From helium, you know.
Yeah, and the rock came from nothing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you go back, we weren't really nothing. They're real bright. You got to give them credit.
Wow.
For them. Yeah, I don't think I can help somebody like that. Okay. Anthony, let me finish here. Says, you've been reading Genesis. Cain killed Abel. That's right, he got hairy. No, it's not correct that he walked around and got hairy. Plus, the Bigfoot legends could not be descendants of Cain because everybody drowned in the flood. They'd have to be descended from Noah after the flood. So, Anthony, sorry, have to disagree with that one. Okay, AOL Instant Message from the Bartman, 47. I recently read an article on MSN about a recently discovered plant over planet 400 light years away. The discoverers say it's the youngest planet they've found, only a few million years old. Obviously, I do not agree with the date, but what method would an astronomer try to use to determine the age of a planet that far away? Or for that matter, even our neighbor planets in our solar system? Well, good question. I think they make up numbers. What happened, as far as discovering planets around stars 400 light years away, I think that is clearly impossible. What they do is they look and they observe the star seems to wobble a little bit. And then they say, oh, wow, look, there must be a planet going around, tugging at it, causing it to wobble. So that's generally the evidence they use for that. We don't think it hold up too long in a court of law. Anyway, I hope that helps, Bartman. Okay, who we got on the phone here, John?
We've got Jason on line one.
Jason, go ahead.
Yes. Is this Dr. Hogan?
Yes, it is. Go ahead, Jason. You're on here.
Oh, good, good. Hey, I'm not sure if you remember me. You were in Michigan a couple of years ago at a Ward Presbyterian doing a seminar.
Okay. Yes,
and I went out to eat with you and your college friend.
With Mike, if I recall. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we went out to eat there. Yeah. Just wanted to say, you are a great blessing to the Christian community. And also had a question for you there. I was just surfing the internet and I ran across a site called xchristian.net.
Oh, we can fix that.
I'm sorry?
Tell them we can fix that. We can get them back to being Christian.
Oh yeah, and I ran across that, and I was really disturbed. And they actually spoke a little bit about you, and kind of a little harshly.
Oh yeah, there's 1,000 of those websites that hate me out there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, and it was just, they had just a lot of garbage out there, all falsities and everything, and I kind of wrote in and mentioning a few things, and like I said, it's kind of funny that you haven't lost the debate yet.
I wonder how many anti-Jesus websites there would be if he were alive today going around preaching like he did. I bet there'd be millions.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. Yeah, you're always going to get it.
That's okay.
But, I'm just glad there's people like yourself and going around defending the truth and presenting the truth.
Well, I appreciate that.
But, again, like I said, I wish the greatest blessing on you there, and good speaking to you again.
Okay, well, come down and visit.
I hope to see you in a seminar soon or speak to you there soon.
My website itinerary is up there. You can go to the itinerary. I think I'm coming to Michigan sometime this year.
Okay, great.
Been wonderful. There a bunch of times. Sounds great. Hey, thanks a lot, Jason.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Have a good day.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, folks, if you want to call in, 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or website, email, what do they call that, AOL Instant Message. Dr. Dino Live, DRDINO, just abbreviate doctor. Here's one from Tanya writes, Columbus discovered America 500 years ago. How Indians got to America? Columbus didn't discover America, obviously. People were already here, and a lot of people, somebody came and Columbus came and plants a flag in their front yard and says, this is my property. It's like, hello, what are you doing putting that flag in my yard? They were already here. Columbus didn't discover it. They were here, and there were a lot of people who came across the ocean way before Columbus. Probably King Solomon came back and forth with his navy. That was 1000 B.C. Certainly Brendan the Navigator came over in 500 A.D. The Vikings came across, probably 1000 A.D. There was trade back and forth about the time of Christ across the ocean. Hebrew coins from pre-Christian era were found in Ohio. So I think there's just pretty overwhelming evidence that Columbus did not discover America. He's maybe after the Dark Ages in recent times rediscovered America. But the Indians would have gotten here after the flood like everybody else got everywhere else in the world. They walked or took boats or rode their wagons or whatever. I cover this on video number 6 a little bit. If you watch that on drdino.com, you can download it, the Hovind Theory. If the ice caps were larger on this planet, which quite obviously they were in the past at some time, that's going to lower the ocean levels. And lowering the ocean levels exposes all the land bridges. I talked to a pilot who flies back and forth, I think, twice a week between Alaska and Siberia for some, his company or something up there. And he says you can almost always see the bottom of the Bering Strait between Alaska and Russia. And he said it's about 60 feet deep, at the deepest point. So, you know, this building I'm in is 80 feet long, so 60 feet is not much. Between England and France, the English Channel, I think it's 150 feet is the deepest point, and generally probably a lot less. I think the average depth may be something like 70 feet. So it's just not correct to say that, you know, the oceans are real deep. Some places are, of course, but there are basically two parts to the ocean. One is the shallow part around the continents called the continental shelf. The other part's called the abyss, the deep part. And if you increase the size of the ice caps by freezing a bunch of water, it would lower the size of the ocean, obviously. And this would expose the land bridges, and they could walk anywhere on planet Earth. Australia and Vietnam, they're in Indonesia, the water in that area is only 20 or 30 feet deep in most places. Wouldn't take much change in ocean level to expose that land bridge. Okay, let's see. JMK 1611 writes in, speaking of cancer, are you aware of Dr. William Donald Kennedy's pancreatic enzyme treatment that he used to cure himself of terminal pancreatic cancer? Bill Sardi wasn't wild about this either, by the way, but the man had a terminal mastic cancer in 1964 and is still alive today. TheBodyTherapyCenter.com. TheBodyTherapyCenter.com. Huh. I'm not aware of that story. JMK, appreciate you letting me know. You know, there are a lot of people have actually cured their own cancer quite a few different ways. Usually, it generally fits into the category of give the body lots of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that it needs, and it can heal itself. Just give it plenty of stuff. Thank you for the AOL instant message there, Dr. Dino Live. if you want to call in, folks, you can order our materials right now. Diane is standing by. If you want to get some of the stuff, we have a lot of new debates. Plus, we have the entire Bible on CD at double speed. Very interesting. Once you get used to the rapid talking, you can listen to the whole Bible in about 35 hours. So if you have a lot of drive time or workout time or walking time, be good to read the entire Bible. So an hour a day, you can read the Bible in a month, 12 times a year. Here we go. Paul writes in, I had a question concerning your response to the question of black holes on your FAQ sheet. It says, the problem black holes are supposed to fix is this. If the Big Bang Theory were true, the matter would be evenly distributed. And it's not. We have clumps of matter called galaxies and then zillions of miles of nothing between. The believers in the Big Bang are trying to explain this away. They're trying to say there is matter between the clumps, but we just can't see it because it's a black hole. Okay, you suggest, Paul writes, you suggest that the Big Bang Theory is not true due to the fact that according to this theory, matter is meant to be evenly distributed in the universe, and that the existence of galaxies with nothing between is in opposition to this. I immediately wondered when I encountered this whether you were familiar with a substance known as dark matter. Oh, here we go, Jonathan. Not only black holes, but dark matter, antimatter, and what other kind do we need? We need to make up our own so we can become famous. Hot and cold matter, hot matter, cold matter. Nobody, it's always just dark and light. Why don't they have like blue or red or something, you know, yellow, pink, chartreuse. It's always, you know, just black and white. There's more out there. We got to make up we'll make up a theory, folks, and get it published in Scientific American. We'll become world famous. Okay, so Paul asks if I'm familiar with dark matter, which is proven to exist, despite the fact that it does not reflect light. Due to the fact that it exerts a gravitational influence, one does not even need to utilize the existence of black holes to deal with the problem of evenly distributed matter. In the Big Bang Theory, as dark matter solves the problem of gaps between galaxies. He says, indeed, luminous matter, what we can see, is thought to be only 5% of the matter in the universe. So if you're familiar with the aspect, I would be interested in your thoughts on it. And if not, I would suggest a more thorough investigation of modern cosmology. Okay, Paul, this whole thing is absolute guesswork. This is not science. This is desperation, I guess. There is no evidence of dark matter or black holes that we can prove. There's a lot of theories, a lot of artists' conceptions in the paper coming out and in the magazines. some artist draws a picture of a star being torn apart, and now his picture becomes the evidence. Well, duh. That's not good logic. Okay. So now I disagree. I'll stand my ground. I think the Big Bang Theory is retarded for all kinds of reasons, and that absence of missing matter between the galaxies is only one of the many reasons why that theory is dumb. Elizabeth writes in, Dr. Ovin, I watched your seminar and was very blessed. It opened up a lot of new ideas to me. I know God has truly blessed your ministry. I was interested in a book you mentioned about Pope John Paul II being tied to the Nazis. I work at a library and have looked for any info on this book and have not found anything. Could you please tell me where and how to get hold of this information? It would be very appreciated, Elizabeth, in Anderson, South Dakota. Okay, Elizabeth, I happen to be in my library, and I'm holding the book in my hand called Behold a Pale Horse. Behold a Pale, P-A-L-E, Horse by William Cooper, who was killed about 2 years ago, I believe, assassinated, probably because of the stuff he wrote in his book. He writes all kinds of things. He was in the Navy for years and is very outspoken on his opposition to Big Brother government. And he was taken out of the picture here recently. But in this book, I don't remember the page number, where he tells about Pope John Paul while he was in Poland before during World War II, working for the Nazis, selling cyanide to the death camps. And one could argue he's just a salesman doing what he's supposed to do. Okay, that may be the case. I don't know. And I don't know that I could prove that it's true, but there used to be a whole lot of stuff on the Internet about it, about Pope John Paul and his during World War II, before he was Pope, his activities assisting the Nazis. So that's the book you're looking for. The publisher is, let's see, printed by Mission Possible Commercial Printing. Mission Possible Commercial Printing, a division of Light Technology Communication Services in Sedona, Arizona, S-E-D-O-N-A, published 1991. Light Technology Publishing, Sedona. ISBN number is 0929-385-22-5. Hope that helps. Anyway, I don't know that I can document anything in there. It's very interesting reading. No one's ever refuted it. Several have complained about it. Well, okay, but nobody's actually refuted what he said in there that I know of. Okay, Jonathan, who we got on the line here?
We've got TJ on line one.
TJ, go ahead. Oh, I don't have him here. Hello, can you hear me, TJ? I can't hear you. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, there we go. Yes. Hello, go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about, I recently watched the video, Walking with Dinosaurs.
Okay.
And it said on that the Brachiosaurus wasn't able to hold its head up because it was so much counterweight that it had to keep its neck level with its body.
Now, that would make the problem even worse for counterweight. You know, holding your arm straight up in the air is not bad. Trying to hold your arm straight out makes it even worse. The simple physics, like a teeter-totter. So I would say it would be quite the opposite to be true, especially if the animal lived in water, then it wouldn't matter. You know, the water helps to buoy it up, you know, helps to take the weight.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Now, you're welcome. Call at any time.
Okay, can I ask you one more question?
Sure, all you want. Go ahead.
I've heard of the, do you know what the Billy Bong from Australia? Do you have any idea what that is?
I have heard the word. I don't remember what it is. I've been to Australia once, but describe it to me and I'll see if I remember it. What is the Billy Bong? What is that?
It's supposed to be some kind of swamp creature. And it's like, I guess it's sort of like a Loch Ness or a, some
okay.
kind of...
Okay, yes, that's what I've heard. I read, there's a book by, let's see if my headphones will reach over to the library section here. There's a good-sized book that I think mentions that. It's by a Frenchman named Bernard Heuvelmans, who has written a lot about, mysterious creatures, Loch Ness Monster, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't see the book right now with a quick look throughout the library, but it's called, you can look up on the Internet, Bernard Heuvelmans, H. E. Heuvelmans. It's a French name.
Heuvelmans?
H-E-U-V-E-L, I think. Heuvelman, M-A-N. Heuvelman. He's written quite a few books. I think he died a couple years ago, but he wrote quite a few books on what's called cryptozoology. If you go to your library, there's two kinds of library systems in America, basically. There's the Dewey and the Library of Congress. If it's the letters, if they use letters in their book designations, then you want to go to QL, like Queen, Q for Queen and L for Larry, QL89. That will have all the books on Loch Ness Monster type stuff. If they're on the other system, then you go to 001.9. 001.9.
Okay.
Yeah, but somewhere in there. Yeah, I know. I think he talked about the Billy Bong in that book. It's Unknown Creatures or something like that. I forget the name of it. Hope that helps you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Hey, thanks a lot. All right, folks. Join us right after the break here. Stay with us. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is the final segment. If you want to call in, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or AOL Instant Messages at Dr. Dino Live. And I did have the spelling right. I found another one of Bernard Heuvelman's book, if you're still listening. I don't have the big one I was looking for. I think it's called On the Track. No, the small one I have is On the Track of Unknown Animals. Heuvelman's is H-E-U-V-E-L-M-A-N-S, and I think he died a couple years ago, but he wrote a lot of books on the cryptozoology subject, and his great big book that he wrote is here in the library someplace, but I can't find it. Anyway, in the book I'm holding in my hand, it's called On the Track of Unknown Animals. He does not cover the Billy Bong, but Jonathan informs me that the Billy Bong is a clothing company. What is it?
Billabong Clothing is actually a snowboarding, skateboarding, surfing clothing company. Back when I used to skate and rollerblade, I used to wear Billabong clothes. So whenever he said that, Dave said, have you heard of Billabong? That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, well, what kind of question is that?
Well, I used to roller skate, but I don't.
Billabong is relatively new, I think. It's
okay. Yeah, back when I skated, the wheels were still square, you know, before they had the round ones.
You had to ride them a lot to get them worn down.
You had to ride them a lot, yeah. No, I'm not that old. Okay, here, Floyd writes in, thank you so much for the valuable information you placed on your website. Could you please help me with the issue of the red shift in terms of the age of the universe? I frequently hear that it proves the tremendous age of the universe. The Genesis 1 indicates the stars are just a few thousand years old. Help me sort this out. In Christ, Floyd. Floyd, I cover this now in video number 7, which you can download off of our website. There are about 6 theories of what may be causing the redshift. there are 11 references in the Bible where it says God stretched out the heavens. Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, it means he stretched out the heavens. So, it may be that the redshift is a result of the stretching of the heavens. It may be that the light is getting tired from traveling great distances. It may be the Doppler effect, that the stars are receding. Or it may be the stars are going at a right angle, 90 degrees to our line of sight, causing a redshift. I don't think anybody knows, but I do think I cover several references on there, on video 7 and on my website, that by astronomers telling us that you cannot tell the distance to stars based upon the redshift. Okay, hope that helps. Bill writes, would you agree that according to Genesis 5:3, that you and me and all persons born after Seth were not created in the image and likeness of God, but in the image of our human fathers? I don't know, Bill. Adam was created in the image of God. Everybody else is, I guess, a copy off of Adam. So I think it probably would have started even before Genesis 5:3. Well, I guess that's where it started. Adam begat the Son in his own image. But if Adam was the image of God, and then the Son was the image of Adam, I guess you could still say that was an image of God. And I don't know of any references in Scripture that talk about us being in the image of God. Christ was in the image. Okay, but I have God's Word for Windows on the computer. In the image of... It's only found in the Bible twice. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. And Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. There we go. Genesis 9:6 kind of closes the gap on that one. Okay. T.T. Vandergraff writes in. In the Reactions magazine, September 93, volume 9, the American Nuclear Society talks about the Oklahoma reactor and uses this to explain that the Earth must be at minimum 2 billion years old. This was discovered using radiometric dating of the elements uranium-235. Is this bull? TT, there's an article about uranium-235 dating on ICR.org. Is that in the Rate Project book also?
Yeah, better than just an article. They could get the entire publication itself. I think the book is about $35 to $50, but it's 5 years of work led by, I believe it's Russ Humphreys. I'm not 100% for sure, but it's just impressive. Hugh Ross and them, when this was brought to their attention of the information that these people were uncovering, Hugh Ross and them were just shaking. It's hilarious. Ross and them were on a radio program in September 2003 criticizing this, and he hadn't even read it. One of Ross's own employees stood up and said, "No, you got that wrong," and had to continually correct Ross and some of his other employees on this because one of them actually read it. So,
I don't know why Hugh Ross is just so dogmatic. The Earth is billions of years old, and God couldn't do it in 6 days, you know?
I don't know. You should probably... It's much better to let Scripture interpret Scripture instead of going by man's... You know, if you can read the Bible, and Ross will agree, man is... we're corrupted, we're disgusting, we're fallen. We're a fallen creation. But he's trying to use our understanding of, you know, fallen creation, understanding of a fallen creation. He's trying to make, you know, this science...
Yeah.
You know, superior to the Scripture.
Well, I would be honored to debate him again anytime.
I don't know if he will.
No, I don't think I know he won't. But so, put the word out there. I think he's a heretic. Very nice man, but he's a heretic. What he teaches is simply wrong. Amy, A-M-Y, Wilson writes in, "My Cocker Spaniel, age 15, just died." Well, Amy, I'm sorry to hear about that. That's hard. I know our dog was standing at death's door, and we asked the doctor to pull him through. Pull him through death's door. You get it, Jonathan? Never mind. Okay, he was real sick and in pain all the time, so we said, just send him on to wherever they go when they die. That's it. Amy writes, "Some people think he has a soul and went to heaven. Others do not. What do you think? Is there a biblical answer?" Amy, honestly, I don't know a biblical answer to that one. The Bible does mention animals, like Jesus came down riding on a horse from heaven. There are horses mentioned. I don't know. God's going to have it just exactly right. I just trust him on that one.
Now, there is a thousand-year reign here on Earth, so I'm sure there's going to be tons of animals here.
Yeah, God created a lot of cool stuff, and there's fruit in heaven. There's a tree with 12 different kinds of fruit. Why would there not be animals if there's trees?
He talks about the lion laying down with the lamb and, you know, so many different things.
That's during the thousand-year reign, Isaiah 9:6. But, animals in heaven. I know a little girl came in and said she was crying because her cat got run over, you know, and her mommy said, "Well, honey, Fluffy's in heaven with God now." And she said, "Well, why does God want a dead cat?"
I think I heard that once before.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just trust God on that one. You know, the only reference that I can think of that may apply is in the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is saying, you know, as a man dies, so it's just like when a beast dies, you know, they just go to the grave. But Solomon, clearly, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the whole book, he says, "I'm writing this as man's view of the world under the sun." This is the way man looks at it. This does not mean that's the way God looks at it. So you have to be real careful getting a doctrine from the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, AOL Instant Message is open if you want to call in or get to us. It's Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, or you can call 850-479-DINO in the next 3 minutes. You have to get on here quick. Okay, Brandy writes in, "Explain the relationship between 666 and the devil." Brandy, all through scriptures, you'll notice numbers mean things. Like the number 40 is a number for testing. The number 7 is complete, perfect, it's done, finished. Number 8 is new beginning. Number 5 is the number for grace, God's grace. He always does things in fives. 6 is the number for man. Man was made on the sixth day. Goliath was 6 cubits tall. And Goliath's brother had 6 fingers. The number 6 seems all through Scripture to indicate having to do with man. I've got a book here. I think, where is that? Biblical Numerology. It's pretty cool. I don't see it now. It's in the library somewhere. No. But anyway, yeah, it appears that 666, according to Revelation 7 or Revelation 14, I believe, are the two passages that talk about this number 666 being the mark of the beast. Now, what's that mean? Is it a real 666, or is it 3 6-digit numbers like your zip code plus your Social Security? That would be your zip code plus four, which they have now for everybody, and your Social Security number adds up to 18 digits,
mm-hmm.
With those two numbers, they can locate anybody on the planet. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Yeah, it also talks about the number of his name. So I know there's a... What is that method called where each...
Each letter has a numerical value.
Yeah, and they would add it all up.
That's a good point. In Hebrew, I know it does. I don't know if English would have that.
Yeah, I knew it was in Hebrew. I was reading a book by the authors of the Left Behind series. It was actually called Are We Living in the Last Days or Are We Living in the End Times? Interesting reading. Strongly recommend it, but a tough topic.
Yeah, I can't answer that one. It appears, though, that it's some kind of numbering system where you can't buy or sell without, you know, Satan's permission. His numbering system. So, Brandy, you have to wait on that one. Priscilla writes in, here's a neat last name, K-C-U-N-H-A, Kunha. Anyway, Priscilla, hope I didn't butcher that too bad. I was watching the Spanish news the other day, and they said that a cat and a bunny rabbit mated and had a half-cat, half-baby bunny. Would a bunny and a cat produce a bat? No, a rabbit and a cat would produce a cabot. I think they call it a cabot. I've heard of that before. I think it's a joke, though. It says the first half of the body was a cat, and the second half was a bunny. It had rabbit feet and a bunny tail, so it was hopping around everywhere. Is that possible? I don't know, Priscilla. I've heard of that before. Now, there is a cat that hops, kind of like a Manx. I think it's a Manx. M-A-N-X. There's a weird cat that hops like that. Somebody knows, well, it's too late now. You could AOL instant message us tomorrow if you know about that cat that kind of hops. His back feet are like that, but I don't think it's a cross between a bunny and a cat.
They had over here at the fair here in Pensacola, they had it was a fish body with a boy's torso. It was a fake boy. It looked like a small mummified body. But, you know, something like that. I'm just thinking people, and some people believe that.
Well, there's a fish that they cut open a certain way and fillet it and let it dry out. It was dried, right, in a case for you to go by and see at the fair?
Yeah.
Pay $2 and come see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They got your
fish
money.
Fish boy. They did get my money, yeah.
They did get your money. That was the whole
it's
point.
Like we were talking about yesterday, negative publicity. Someone could talk about the nastiest smelling cheese in the world and then give you the opportunity to smell it.
And
people are
going
to line up and smell that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just someone tells me, we have a half boy, half fish. Pay $2 to see it. I know it's absurd, but I'm going to go see it just to see what they've done.
Well, it's like all the negative publicity for the Passion of Christ.
Yeah.
Or even the negative publicity for me.
Yeah.
Keeps us popping around here, you know. So keep it coming. Keep it coming. Okay, we got time for another one?
Maybe one more.
Let me pick a short one here. We got a stack 2 inches thick here. Here we go. Vicky writes in, I've been studying the creation science issues for some time, and there is a question I've not yet found addressed. The flood was generally estimated to be 2,500 years ago. There's recorded history of the Egyptian pharaohs from 3,000 BC that does not mention a flood. Please do not suggest the inaccuracies of carbon dating, as they do not apply in this case, since there is a hieroglyphic in cuneiform writings. Can you help me? Thanks. Yes, Vicky, you need to get the book, The Evolution Cruncher. It's a 900-page book, and it's $5. Go to our website, drdino.com, and look for The Evolution Cruncher. On page 56 in there, there's a long section article about the Egyptian calendar. It is not to be trusted. Many, many serious problems with the Egyptian calendar. So the Bible dates are correct. The flood was about 2400 B.C., and the oldest histories that are reliable go back about that far. So right after the flood, civilizations would have sprung up quickly because people were intelligent but just had, you know, devastated world to work with. Join us again tomorrow, folks. And if you're not saved, go to our website, Dr. Dino, and click on the How to Get Saved button, and we can show you right there how to become a Christian tonight. See you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.